The Phil Henry Show, brought to you by Nissan and the Nissan dealer.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Tonight on our show, Rudy Canoza, who owns a lingerie store right over here on Ventura Boulevard, is going to talk about how Vicente Fox basically stuck his finger right into President Bush's chest and said, you're going to legitimize these Mexican immigrants. You understand? So Fox has dictated the policy because American women don't know how to stay home and take care of their babies. They're too busy hanging around Rudy's store and trying on lingerie like the, quote, pigs that they are, end quote. Also, Justin McElroy's a young guy we've had on our show before. He's a high school student who has caused a little bit of controversy at his school, and I thought maybe you'd be interested in hearing his story. He wrote a column for the school paper. Get a load of the title of this column. Just Be My Mom, Not a Piece of Ass. It was pulled off of the stand there in the student bookstore, and it's very controversial. We're going to talk with him. Phil Henry Show has a website. It's www.philhenryshow.com. You really must visit our website, and you must get a backstage pass if you hope to fully understand what this show's about, because I got news for you. It's going to take a while. Also, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. What is it about people to get fired? They got to be nasty, and they have to be angry, and they have to be vitriolic, and they've got to... Take it from me. I've been fired 6-7 times in a 30-year career. Maybe that's not as much as some people. In the broadcast business, that's probably about standard. And when I was younger, I got pissed. But the older I got, the more I said, yeah, this is business, and I just packed my bags and moved on. And also came to the conclusion that, you know, burning a bridge here and there is not a good idea. I mean, I have, if anybody's interested, one of these days I can give you a primer on what not to do after you get fired. I can give you, the chapter and verse. Best thing to do when you get canned is to say, okay, that's great, and just pack your crap, get out of there, take some time off if you want. Go look for another job if you want, but forget you ever had that job. And if you've got any relationship left at that place, make sure it stays positive. Because it never helps you. Never, ever, ever helps you when you get your ass canned out of a gig to be nasty about it and to start talking about people in a negative way and otherwise burning those bridges. I'm telling you, you can tell people this, they ain't going to believe you. Like Paul O'Neill, for instance. You know who he is? He's the guy that used to be the Treasury Secretary. He got canned. It happens. Now he's bugged. That happens too. And he's writing a book. And what a nasty piece of crap President Bush is. And the whole thing is just one big festering turd sitting there in Washington. And why is Paul O'Neill doing all of this? Because he got fired. And he's angry and he's hurt. And he's mystified. And it's humiliating to get fired. It's absolutely humiliating. It doesn't have to be. The rest of the world sees it as business as usual. But the individual getting the boot is the cat that just feels the pain. This guy O'Neill now is running around and telling all kinds of tales about the Bush administration, most of which I believe. But here's the difference. I'm not some child, and I'm not saying I'm superior to anybody or inferior to anybody. I'm just not a kid anymore. I'm all grown up. And I get how the world works. When Paul O'Neill comes out and he says that President Bush... Or I should say the way Paul O'Neill would say it, and I don't mean to be cruel, I don't want to make fun of his speech impediment, but he did have one, and it is kind of cute. When President Bush said this, the guy's got that hair lip thing going on, and I shouldn't say that, I mean cleft palate, but you know what I mean.
Well, anyway, I really think that, for me it's just been a great thing. And,
nice teeth. Paul O'Neill said that Bush was planning the ouster of Saddam Hussein almost from the time he got elected. Yeah, so? So what? Since 9/11, I got to be honest, I've never heard a population of individuals like the American people, or more to the point, the American intelligentsia in all of its varying forms, degrees, and levels, behave and sound more like a collection of high school students and not adults than anything I've ever seen in my life. They talk about, did you know that President Bush was planning the ouster of Saddam Hussein well before 9/11? Yeah, it makes sense to me. Why not? Why wouldn't he? Well, I mean, it's not right. It's not right. What's not right about it? Let's start with a little tiny itsy-bitsy thing that nobody seems to care about. I do. I happen to take it personally when someone tries to assassinate a president of the United States. It just happens to be a thing that I, you know, you kill a president, you're attacking the American people. You may not feel that way, but then maybe you want to find another country to live in, but I feel that way. Saddam Hussein attempted to assassinate an American president. That isn't something we're fantasizing or hallucinating. The Clinton administration had that intelligence. President Clinton's response was to send a cruise missile into Baghdad. I don't know if it, you know, anybody got the message, but the fact is it was intelligence that the Clinton administration had and acted on. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but the minute I find out a guy's trying to assassinate a president of the United States, that guy's days are numbered on this planet as we know it. That guy's days as a living, breathing entity are numbered. It's not just the if, it's when. Better believe it was planned. I bet you Clinton was kicking something around. Saddam Hussein had a limited number of days on this planet. The day he told the United Nations, the United Nations inspector, what is that you want? Oh, you know, it might be in this closet. Could you just stay outside and let me go check? You know, the minute he started playing fast and loose, his days were freaking numbered. The people that are against the war on terror are dishonest for a lot of reasons, but the number one reason why they're dishonest is because they fight with tooth and nail, man, to argue for the legitimacy of that government. And no one with any moral sense would ever fight for the legitimacy of a Saddam Hussein government unless they had a larger purpose, and that's, I don't like Bush. And, okay, if you'd rather keep the Iraqi people, if you would rather allow that guy, forget about the Iraqi people because no one cares about them, but if you'd rather keep Saddam Hussein in business so he can run around and plot with anybody and everybody, then you go ahead and do that. And who cares what happens to us, because what the real important thing here is make sure that President Bush doesn't get another term, right? What a bunch of lying sacks of crap that would go for that philosophy. And what a small-minded, pea-brained child you've got to be to think that there was anything other than a plan to get rid of Saddam Hussein after Bush got elected. Are you crazy? It should have been done when Clinton was president. If you want the honest truth, to try to murder an American president, I guess you have to live through that. I lived through the assassination of an American president. Let me tell you something. It's about on a par with 9/11. It ain't pretty. It ain't fun. And nobody's having a good time with it. And you get kind of angry, and you get kind of sad, and the whole thing just sucks. And whether you hate the man or love the man, you take it personal. Paul O'Neill is saying that President Bush has had his head up his ass in these cabinet meetings. Look, O'Neill, the reason why you got fired is because there's a plan and then there's your way. And generally we all get canned when we don't see the plan, we just see our way. And you might have said to the president at some time with your lisp saying, you know, President, I think we'll be able to do it. All right, thank you, Sylvester the Cat. We'll take that under advisement. Jesus H., would you do something with that mouth? You know, you can agree, you can disagree, you can say I respectfully disagree. That's great. Well, we're going to do it my way anyway. Then you get upset and you get crazy and then you write a book. Like every kind of sour grapes fired employee down through the years, you write a book. Now they're asking some questions that are legitimate questions. How did you come into possession of records that were marked secret? Paul O'Neill says, I never had any records that were marked secret. Please read. In other words, they were planted. Well, that's impossible because O'Neill was on a phone with Rumsfeld who asked him, please don't go forward with this book. They were talking to this guy long before it was published. So what, after he said no, then they stuck the paper somehow into his briefcase? You know, when a guy is wrong, he can't admit he's wrong, he was screwed. You know, you're either wrong or you were screwed. Either you screwed up or it was some kind of a big, conspiracy. O'Neill said a cover page for the documents might have suggested they were classified, but said that the legal counsel's office sent me a couple of CDs, which I never opened. Oh, okay. So it's somebody else's problem and somebody else's fault. He said he didn't mean to imply the administration was wrong to begin contingency planning for a regime change in Iraq, but that he was surprised that it was at the top of the agenda. So all of a sudden, what comes out is that Bush was planning a regime change, and O'Neill is saying, well, I'm just kind of surprised it's at the top of the agenda. Why not? No time like the present. No time like the present. The world, folks, doesn't work the way it does in movies. It doesn't work the way it does in movies. It isn't Michael Douglas standing at the lectern, an American president standing up for the woman he loves. It's not a whole bunch of hooey, baby. The world is hardball, as we all know, okay? And when somebody ceases being useful, they get fired. Like Saddam Hussein was fired. Like Noriega was fired. And like Paul O'Neill got fired. And like you and me have been fired. Did we make weapons for Saddam Hussein? Did we give him germs of, you know, for anthrax, for biological? Did we do a lot of nasty things? Yes. Those arguments fall to the ground, man, like so much shrapnel. By the way, speaking of shrapnel, go to our website and click on the link that says Our Tax Dollars at Work if you want to see a beautiful thing. I don't want to, I will not tell you anything. Maybe some of you already saw it on the news, but we've got it linked on our website. United States Armed Forces at Work. Of course, the facts are the United States was in bed with a lot of nasty people down through the years. We had to be. We were, you know, the U.S. government sees its primary purpose protecting American business interests, which is essentially protecting American workers. That's right. That's right. Stockholders. In other words, people with money. People who got a financial interest in the business. And when that means that they got to go to Iraq and stir up some crap, that's exactly what they got to do. That's how the world works. After World War II, there were two countries left. Only two, and just two. The United States and the Soviet Union. Everybody, the European Empire, the British Empire was on its ass. It's gone. The British Empire will never rise again. And after the Soviets went south, there's one. The United States. No world can accommodate two. And if you read history, and here's one of the reasons why you got to read history. There's never been a time in the history of the world when there hasn't been some preeminent geopolitical power in the world. Before America, it was the British Empire. Before the British Empire, it was somebody else. There was the Holy Roman Empire, the Roman Empire. There was Tsarist Russia. There's always been some big, bad, 800-pound gorilla on the block kicking everybody's ass. If you think that's evil, that's not evil. That's the way the world is. What you can only hope for is that whoever is the 800-pound gorilla in your lifetime is a fairly benevolent creature. And as empires go, America ain't bad, baby. Compared to the freaking Romans and the damn British. And when I say the damn British, I say it with the greatest of respect to our fine British friends. But the British Empire wasn't no picnic, baby. Ask the freaking Indians. Ask anybody that lived under colonial rule. It wasn't fun. You want to talk about subjugation, manipulation, and exploitation of third world people? The freaking British wrote the book. So did the Romans, so did the rest of these jackasses. So why don't you get off your high horse about big bad America? We're doing business the way it's been done. 10,000 years of cultural evolution. We went over to Iraq and we got rid of that piece of crap because the last thing we need to do while we're trying to find Osama is listen to his big fat mouth. And wondering who he's paying off and who he's giving dirty bombs to and who he's giving missiles to. We also got to keep another eye out for the French because they'll stick a shank in your back as quick as they're looking at you. They've been selling him illegal weapons for years and they've been getting away with it. The frogs have been getting away with murder for years. Now today, of course, the big news is the Canadians, they finally got their little construction contract. So everybody's happy as a pig in crap. The Canucks are going to go over there and they're going to build all kinds of bridges and schools, make all kinds of bread after they were laying it on Americans as being blood-sucking, bloodthirsty, stupid morons, calling our president an idiot and everything else. Canadians are like, no, everybody else, man. They know which side of the bread the butter's on. So quit acting like children. Understand how the world works. And this guy O'Neill, he's just some squealing pig that got fired. That's all that guy is. Just a pig under a gate that got fired and he can't take it. Hey, Paul. Believe me, man, you want to have coffee sometime, I can tell you all about the times I've been canned. It hurts. Coming up, Rudy Canoza on our show to talk about, speaking of pigs, the American pigs that buy lingerie, and Justin McElroy on the column he wrote that got pulled from the student bookstore at his high school. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back 1-800-449-8686.
Rudy Canoza, who owns a lingerie store in, what part of town are we in? Sherman Oaks, is going to be on our program shortly. He's going to explain the whole Mexican immigrant thing, the law being approved by Vicente Fox. It is his opinion, Vicente Fox, who's much taller than President Bush, just stuck his finger in his chest and said, hey, let me tell you something, Shorty. Here's how it's going to be. How about that, huh? And then Justin McElroy, a high school student who's writes for his student newspaper, is going to be on to talk about some column he wrote that got censored. And it's called Just Be a Mom, Not a Piece of Ass, which is offensive, certainly, in its title. But what does he mean? We're going to talk with him about that here on the Phil Hendry Show. Then a bunch of people got together last night. I was going to say knucklehead, but isn't that a little strong? Isn't that one of the seven dirty words? Pretty sure it is. You said what? I said, knucklehead, do you understand that we have a license? All right. Some of our fine Hollywood friends, I guess, Margaret Cho. What would you say? She's Hollywood or is she what? She's San Francisco. She ain't no Hollywood. Okay. San Francisco. Hey, thanks a lot, San Francisco, for weighing in again with another real brain surgeon here, Margaret Cho. And she was at some MoveOn.org awards. But if there's one thing they need in Hollywood, another award show. Can't you people pat yourselves on the back enough? Why don't you just go over to Margaret Cho's house and give each other oral sex? Why don't you just retire over to Spielberg's pad and sodomize each other? Something. That way you can show the love, man. You cats have got to have an award show for everything. MoveOn.org. Margaret Cho. Choke. They got the People's Choice Awards. They've got the Mongo Chow Awards. They've got the Purina Cat Chow People Move On Awards. The Up With People, Down With Pet Awards. Academy Awards. Sub-Academy Awards. Intergalactic Awards. Galaxy Awards. Earthbound. Solar System. In Orbit. Awards for comics. Awards for guys that are almost comics. Awards for unfunny people. They ought to give them out, the unfunniest people in the world. Who are they? Yeah, I know. I'm one of them. Yeah, I know. No, seriously, why don't we have the least funny bastards that God ever sent to the planet? Margaret Cho seems to head the list for... No, I'm kidding. I don't mean to be angry, Margaret. You have every right in the world to call George Bush a Hitler, I guess. But you're not doing much for Asian Americans, are you? You make them sound pretty stupid, don't you? Oh, I'm sorry. Am I being racial? You know, Margaret, every time you open your mouth, man, the Chinese, they just pushes them back another 1,000 years. By the time you're done with your act, they're going to be back to inventing firecrackers. Then you got Al Franken, who I really loved his book, Lies and the Lying Liars That Tell Him. But Franken, why do you got to be so one-dimensional, man, and get co-opted by every dumbass in Hollywood? Why don't you think as an individual as opposed to the party Hollywood line? Howard Dean is in for the biggest shock of his life in November of 2004 when he loses the run for the presidency, and they find out that this cat didn't represent anybody in America. Anybody other than Margaret Cho, Chuck D, this guy was at this thing. I didn't even know you spoke English, Chuck. No kidding, I know you can rap, but I didn't know you could talk. And he said a bunch of stuff, but like, a cat of Chuck D's mentality, none of it was either A, intelligent, B, interesting, or C, broadcastable. And then there's Julia Stiles. Holy Jesus. Boy, no sooner do they get into a movie than they got to start hanging out with all the right people. She was up there, and she didn't want it to be misconstrued. She was against the government, but not the soldiers. So in other words, Julia, you think the government's stupid, but the soldiers are great. So what's that make them when they're over there fighting for the government? Idiots? Or they're just misguided? They're not as bright as you, huh? And then Al Franken was there, and then Moby, who keeps popping up at these things. You know, every time I hear one of your records, Moby, I know I'm in a Starbucks. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now, the Bud Dickman Broadcasting Corporation presents news that hockey players can understand. Filling in for the vacationing Bud Dickman from Yellowknife, Canada, here is Moose McGoran.
Okay, hoping, you know, I, you know, I'm trying to find a way to say this. They have burgers now, you know, over at Burger King, right? And they don't have buns. Okay, so.
And now more with Moose McGoran. Here's an editorial comment.
You know, I like buns. Well, that's about it.
Now more news with Moose McGoran. Hockey players can understand.
Boy George is a fag, you know. He's just a fag boy.
Now more with Moose McGoran.
Kobe Bryant is a Negro, and they say he raped that white girl. If you know the Negroes I know, you wouldn't find it hard to believe, I'll tell you.
And now more news with Moose McGoran. An editorial comment.
I don't mind black people, though. I don't want anybody writing, you know, letters or anything. I play. There's two black guys in the NHL, I think. I'm going to get some background information. I think there's one Negro over in Buffalo, too.
And now more news with Moose McGoran. The hockey players can understand.
With Paris Hilton, you know, she's... I'd like to get with her, you know.
And now more news that, you know...
Ted Nugent, eh? He took a chainsaw and almost cut off his penis. That's serious? No, really, it's right here. It's in Detroit. Ted Nugent almost cut his own penis off with that chainsaw or something.
Now the weather with Moose McGoran.
Well, it was snowing today. I'm getting ready to open the cabin up, though, you know. I'm gonna... That's all I got to say. I mean, you know.
And now more news.
They're gonna go to Mars and everything, you know. They've got a little robot up there is going around taking pictures. You see it there? And they had it in the Toronto Star, which I'm not... I don't get because I don't like to read.
And now more news.
Well, hey, friends, you know, I always watch that, Jennifer Aniston, everybody, and they're not going to have no more shows. That's what it says right here. Jennifer Aniston, she's all blown up now. She's a big star. They all think she's a skank there, too. That's what a friend of mine told me. He pulls cable over in the show on Wednesdays.
And now more news with, you know...
Moose McGoran.
That hockey players can understand.
Sharon Osbourne, now she says Ozzy Osbourne's, like, took drugs. No kidding. What a dumb bitch this is, you know? She says that I knew it the day I saw him trying to put a hefty bag on his own manhood. He thought it was a condom. He's trying to put a condom in the garbage receptacle. He's all messed up. That's all I got to say about that.
This has been news only hockey players can understand with Moose McGoran. Okay, that was great. And remember, Moose will be back. Hold on for a minute. Yeah?
What are you doing? What do you have him on for?
They told me you were sick.
Well, you had us. That wasn't funny at all. You ruined everything.
Bud, they said you were sick and I couldn't do the news that football player, so I got this Moose idiot on.
Well, now people will laugh. They'll think it was me trying to do a Canadian voice. Forget it. I thought you were my friend, but you're no friend at all. You're like all the rest. You're like all the other people that have laughed at me.
Bud, please, no.
No, no, I'll never be your friend again. I'm going to go kill those kittens.
No, Bud, don't do it.
I'm going to get the gun and kill the kittens.
Oh, my God. Bud's going to go kill those kittens that he said. Janice, get on the phone. Tell him I'm sorry. I didn't mean to have his segment be so unfunny, but I thought he was sick. Bud, is that you? Bud, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. What do you want?
Please don't shoot the kittens.
I shot the puppies and I'll kill the kittens, too.
Well, there you go. Well, while Bud's doing that, don't forget our Best of the Phil Henry Show, The Death of Talk Radio 2003 CD is on sale and available at our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Yes, I do care about the lives of puppies and kittens, but I got to get this business out of the way before I go and stop Bud. Well, fortunately, we have a commercial break coming up so I can get in my car, which is relatively fast. They got about 360 horsepower. I'll drive over to the shack he lives in Ojai and kick the gun out of his hand just as he's beginning to squeeze the trigger on the first puppy's head. So don't worry about it. You can buy our CD online or you can call 1-877-616-7445. Phil Henry Show, coming right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I want to talk to you in a moment about what a fat slob I am, but I got this news here about the an Oscar movie, an Oscar-nominated movie that's been leaked to the Internet. The movie Something's Gotta Give. Also, our web address, www.philhenryshow.com, if you'd like to see the entire Something's Gotta Give. It's on our web. I'm joking. But you can see three Iraqis getting blown away by the United States Army in a fantastic video segment entitled Your Tax Dollars at Work. And if you think I'm being sarcastic, I'm not. They showed it on TV. It ain't no big thing. But if you haven't seen it, go to our website. Check it out. There's three Iraqis that three, I shouldn't say Iraqis. They're three resistance fighters, if you will. Probably three. If you want to know who they really are, they're probably three Syrians or Iranians who are sneaking around, and the chopper sees them and blasts them into about 15 different pieces of chunky stew meat. It's great. I mean, it's great. Oh, yeah, Phil? You wouldn't feel that way if you really saw a human being blown apart like that, even if they are. Yes, I would. It's horrible. But if it's either me or him, him. Oh, well, you're a pea-brained American. Look, save all your freaking arguments for, you know, the next meeting you have over at Margaret Cho's gym. Save your freaking arguments for when you have another meeting in Margaret Cho's weight room, okay? The copy of the hit movie, Something's Gotta Give. Are you putting me on? Hit? Who went to see that? You know, when I went and saw that movie, I went and saw it with Maria. We were on vacation, so she says to me, let's see tons and tons of movies. I go, yeah, I want to do that. We saw Cold Mountain. We saw that other one in America, which is great. We saw Mona Lisa Smiles, because you have to give the wife something. You're not going to avoid it, man. You're just not going to avoid it. I want to see something with, okay. Which I actually wasn't bad. It was okay. It was not terrific. But, you know, Julia Roberts, when she resists blubbering on screen, she's pretty good. But I found out the whole movie is made up. I thought it was a true story. I thought it was like American Beauty or something. It's a bunch of load. It was a load. It was a bunch of load. So I said, forget it. And then we went in and we saw that Something's Gotta Give. It's the biggest turd that we walked out of it, folks. Now, I can tell you, I don't do it often. We walked out. I've told you the movies we've walked out of. I wish I could. We walked out of Conspiracy Theory, which was that Julia Roberts movie. We walked out of that piece of crap, Pelton. Are you trying to tell me you stuck around for that? What a horrifyingly bad. What are you, hey, Gibson, next time you, huh? Gibson ain't no Robert De Niro. He's trying to play some psycho cab driver. You blew. Blew in 50 different directions. Then we walked out of, I forget, I walked out of that movie, The Fan. I'm a huge Robert De Niro fan. Benicio Del Toro was in it. There's a lot of guys in that movie that I love. I walked the hell out of that stupid jackass movie. Now I go and see Jack Nicholson. Do us all a big favor, Nicholson. Just don't even do any more romantic comedies, okay? You, as the aging stud, whether it's true or not, whether it's lampooning your image or not, just don't do it anymore, man. Because I'm tired of giving you my $8. Now, I gave you the $8 there for Something's Gotta... What's the hell... What was the name of that piece of... I almost said it. No, don't dump it. I didn't say the word. I said piece of... I was going to say piece of... Your mother's sleeping. What was the name of that thing? Attaboy Baby or Give It To Me Andy? The one with Helen Hunt. I can't remember the turd. That was good. About Schmidt, good. Anyway, the reason why I'm saying all of this stuff, I'm on about Jack Nicholson again. I don't mean to do that. The Academy said money had learned last week that there was an unauthorized online appearance of the Diane Keaton, Jack Nicholson romantic comedy. Something tells me that that's a load of hooey, because why would they publicize that? As good as it gets. Why would they publicize that? To say what? To say that we know it's online, so don't watch it anymore? I mean, honestly, when there's an unauthorized appearance of a movie on the internet, why do you want to go broadcasting the news to everybody? Why don't you just do something about it? Otherwise, I'm going to run to my computer, if it was a movie I wanted to see, and download it. As it is, well, you know how that is. Now, something's got to give. This week is number 5. Last week it was number 3. It's made $7 million. It's made $92 million bucks in 5 weeks. Man, I don't know what people see in that movie. Jesus, was it lousy. Let me. I'll be specific with you. Nicholson plays this guy who, oh, forget it. You don't want to know about it. Remember when I went to see Lost in Translation and I told you it was great? It's got like 9 million Golden Globe nominations. I told you Bill Murray was great. Nobody wanted to believe me. Nobody went to see the movie. Yeah, well, guess what? He's going to be the best actor of the year. You think I'm kidding? He got nominated for a Golden Globe. He's going to get nominated for Academy Award. And the only people that were in that theater besides me were a bunch of old folks, because when you walk in, it has that faint Depend stench that's kind of permeating through the... It's just, oh, yeah, I forgot. It's the early bird's... Oh, geez. Okay, we might as well sit down and watch it. Well, when I went in to see Something's Gotta Give, sure enough, I'm looking at a whole bunch of just heads sunk very deep in the seat. So they say that that thing has made a ton of dough, but I recommend, you know what, go ahead, go see it. You should go see it. Go watch it, go ahead, have yourself a ball. Go ahead and watch Jack Nicholson be charming again. Charm Diane Keaton. And, oh, by the way, Keanu Reeves, what a stellar actor, huh? This is a guy who, I don't know. Words fail me. I just think he's talent, man, on loan from freaking Jesus H. All right, anyway, as you know, I'm fat. Well, today I went back on the Weight Watchers diet. Now, I know you think this is a commercial. It's not. Weight Watchers ain't paying me to say this. They never paid me to do anything. In fact, the publicity that I've given Weight Watchers over the last 3 years, they got a back a dump truck loaded with $100 bills up to my front door. They, honest to God. Now, I lost 30 pounds back in the spring of 2001 on this weight. What is it? It's all it is you're counting points on food, right? Now, my wife goes to the meetings. She's supposed to go to meetings. I wouldn't go to one of those meetings, man, if somebody said that they were going to shoot puppies if I didn't go. The puppies will have to die. I ain't going to go to a Weight Watchers meeting. I told my wife, you go, then you bring back the stuff, I'll Xerox off all the, you know, I'll photocopy it. And then she goes, good idea. So now I have my information, she has hers, and I don't have to go to any Weight Watchers meetings. Here's a word to Weight Watchers. Knock off the meetings, okay? Are you telling me the fatsos that go in there, they need, like, community support? What, do you guys all hold hands and sing Up, Up, and Away? I just, somehow the humor of that just hit me. Up, Up, and Away because I look like a beautiful balloon? I don't gotta sit around with that. All you gotta do is bring me back the things. So then I add up the points like today. I had my little burger patty with my salsa and all that bologna. And then I had some tuna fish. I don't care, man, because I gotta lose the weight. 257.5 pounds when I got on the scale today at 6 feet tall. Now, I can kid about being a fat guy, but when push comes to shove, man, I don't want to grab my left arm when I'm in the middle of a mall somewhere and then roll over like a tub onto the tile floor as a little girl stands there with an ice cream cone and goes, is he sleeping? I don't need that to be my last moment on earth. As I'm walking out to a very hot asphalt parking lot in July in my bathing suit, picking up some, who knows, like some sugar cones for the ice cream we bought, and I just grab my left arm and I slump over the hood of my car, and someone says, Jesus, I think he's had a heart attack. Go over and talk to him. And that's it. Who needs it, right? So I started on this thing today, and I'm, you know, when I was on that Weight Watch, I lost 5 pounds a week. I'm just telling you, I think it's a pretty good thing. That's how I did it. And I... See, I'm not into the Atkins diet. I know a lot of you guys are with that, okay? I like having a normal bowel movement. Call me crazy. Call me irresponsible. But I don't want to sit there for 2 hours on the can waiting for a mason brick to come out, you know? I don't want to sit there for 2 hours on a can waiting for a Mason's block and maybe a little bit of blood. I'd like to just live a normal life. Thank you. Atkins diet. And then you can have meat and cheese and everything. Yeah, and, you know, if I want to spend 50 years of my life on the can. Look at this. Janice gave me the lyrics to Up, Up, and Away. Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Is that what it is? Would you like me to put on my beautiful balloon? I don't understand how this... And a lot of guys in that zone and all this other stuff. Not me, baby. I'm going back to that Weight Watchers because that helped me out. And you just count up the points. See, every piece of food you get is a point. Like, for instance, the hamburger patty I had this morning, I get 35 points a day. The fatter you are, the more points you get. So I get 35. Now, I ain't at, frankly, my weight was like in the middle range. There's some cats that are going at 400. They got a whole thing for 400 pounders. And you get a certain number of points. I got 35. I had a patty today that was worth 5 points. I throw some sauce on that, 0 points. I can have all the vegetables I want because that's 0 points, right? Then I had a couple of tuna fish sandwiches that came out to about 4 points, man. Two tuna fish sandwiches, 4 points. So basically, I got 19 points left. And you know what I'm going to do tonight when I get home? I'm going to take it all out in ice cream. No, I'm going to have a normal, but I can have a nice big size dinner with the 19 points. Then, you know, you got to exercise. And you got to build in gradually. So today, I jumped up and down on my kid's trampoline 4 times, okay? So that, you know, I got a good sweat up on that. I just went up and went, and then I got off. And the neighbors went, what in the hell? I thought I saw something, Ed, rising above the hedges. Was that Henry? Or was that some kind of a UFO? What was that? Is the moon up early? They saw my big fat ass going, and then I got off and I'm like, okay, what a workout. Tomorrow, I'll jump up and down 5 times. Trampolines are good, because all you got to do is just go up and down. But believe it or not, it kicks your ass. 5 times on a trampoline, I'm done. And I got neighbors around, they go, you know, I've seen the kids on that. Is that him? Is that the dad who's on that? I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, my wife, she gets into the whole, Maria is good, but I told my wife, I said one day, I said, look, don't you lose that ass, because if you do, there's going to be big trouble. You start losing all that weight, and you turn into, like, skin and bones. Forget it. It's just, it's no good. It ain't no good. No 12-year-old boy body is allowed in my house, unless there's a 12-year-old boy somewhere in my house, and there ain't. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. We'll be back. We've got Rudy Canoza to talk about the Mexican immigrant workers and how it was Vicente Fox who set George Bush straight to let all them people in.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Show brought to you by PetSmart, where you'll find smarter solutions for healthier, happier pets.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Rudy Canoza joins us from Jetam, which is his lingerie store in on Ventura Boulevard. All right, you're originally from South America, but you talk to your customers about this immigrant issue vis-a-vis President Bush and President Fox, that President Bush is going to legitimize the migrants.
That is correct.
In the United States.
And, you know, I lost the sale the other day, Philly, in my store because a woman I was helping made a statement. We were talking politics, and I like to talk politics, especially with women, because they are sometimes so delightfully innocent. And she said, the Mexican people should be grateful to America because Americans have built such a wealthy country. And I should not have done it, but I couldn't help myself. I burst out laughing.
You started laughing.
Yes, that's such a stupid and naive statement. But as an immigrant businessman, I feel it's my duty to help educate people. As Vicente Fox has finally educated this guy Bush,
Why did you laugh, and what did you mean, Fox-educated Bush?
Well, it's not difficult to see. America is a wealthy country today because of the millions of Mexican immigrants who work here. But the Mexicans are better off because of America. The Mexican worker, it's not the Mexicans who are better off. The Mexican worker comes here, takes care of the baby that the white woman doesn't want to take care of, cleans the home that the white woman does not know how to clean, picks the vegetables for the white farmer who has... does not have a clue as to how to pick a vegetable or harvest.
Well, I'm not disagreeing that immigrants have been a very big part of America, sure.
Well, that's something else that I want to mention. You say immigrants. This misnomer that Italian immigrants, Irish immigrants, Russian immigrants had an equal hand in building America, which I'm glad to educate you is not true. The Mexican immigrant has been a single most important immigrant in America. He has done more work, all kinds of work, than any other immigrant. Let's remember that Mexico knows America very well, since a very large portion of it used to be Mexico.
All right. Okay, we can argue this, Rudy. You know, you're telling a woman, you burst out laughing at a woman in your store today when she said that the Mexican workers here should be grateful they're in America.
Well, I did. I should not have done it. It's not professional. But I couldn't help but laugh at this woman who says... you know, like so many of the women who come to my store, oh, the Mexican is... I laughed at her. I said, you are... And I'm thinking to myself, she's very beautiful. She's a young lady who comes to my store a lot. But I'm thinking, well, you're kind of stupid. It's a stupid little cow to say this, because...
A stupid cow?
Well, she's... look, I love to look at the women and to laugh with them and to talk business with them. And they come out, the lingerie, and I'll say, you look lovely. And there's a Latin kind of a Latin habit that men have when they say a beautiful woman. They'll say, la, 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 la. You know, to let her know she's beautiful. And so this is the level that I speak to the women on. But when they begin to tell me about Mexican politics, or if they try to tell me about Latin American politics, especially when it has to do with the immigrant situation, I have to laugh at this. I have to laugh. She's like a cow, you know. She's like
all right. In your country, you may refer to women as pigs and cows, right?
Well, no. You are not understanding the context.
Well, it's hard for me to hear you say that the woman was like a stupid pig, and not think it's negative.
It's not. It's not negative from the standpoint. We use it in a completely different context.
All right. So I'm not understanding it in terms of culture.
Not understanding in terms of culture, not understanding in terms of the grasp of the situation. It's not to say this is a bad person, but her grasp of a political conversation that we were having was as good as a cow might have. But it's not to say she's stupid, but she does not have a grasp of the situation.
All right, so the women come into your store and you... But let's get on to the broader picture of the issue of immigration. You're saying that Vicente Fox talked to Bush... and set him straight.
I think it was just a matter of saying to Bush, look, let me explain to you the Mexican immigrant. You take him out of the mix in America, you don't have a country. You know, Vicente Fox is a good deal taller than Bush, and you can well imagine what happened. He probably walked up to Bush when they were finally meeting. Most probably put a finger in his chest and said, in no uncertain terms, this is the president of Mexico talking. You are going to legitimize the millions of Mexicans currently in America, or you're going to suffer the consequence of an open border, which no American wants.
And an American border being that we're just virtually, we cannot check the immigration.
We'll not be able to check the immigration. It's just a matter of saying the word, if you will. It's not that Vicente Fox would do that, but all you have to say is, you know what, we did our best, the Americans... And again, this is the context I use. The Americans are like pigs. They're like cows. They don't understand. And the border becomes open.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You really think that Vicente Fox put his finger in President Bush's chest and said, this is how it's going to be?
I think that President Bush had no choice but to accept Vicente Fox's demand.
Well, it's hard to imagine you believing that America's success is entirely due to the Mexican immigrant, though. We have had hundreds of years...
at the ceiling.
Well, let me finish here for a minute. Hundreds of years of a variety of different immigrants. I know you said the Mexican immigrant is the most important. We have had native-born people.
Let me tell you, sir. Can I interrupt? I see these women every day coming into my shop to buy some piece of lingerie. And while there is a baby at home crying, here is this cow trying on the lingerie.
And right, for the benefit of our audience, when you say cow, you mean she doesn't have a grasp of politics?
No, it's not to say she's a bad woman.
No, I know that, but when you say a woman is a cow...
She has the grasp, the political grasp of the cow, yes. So this cow is in my store to buy her lingerie, to buy some garter belt to wear for a boyfriend or a man, maybe a boyfriend, even though she's married to another man. I don't know what the cow wants to do, but she's in my home, she's in my store, and at home is her baby crying for its milk. Unless there is a nanny there, and that is a Mexican nanny taking care of the cow's child. I see this every day in my store. It is difficult for me, Phil, because I love my customers, but sometimes I can't help but think of them as these pigs who let the Mexicans pick the celery and the tomatoes and the cucumbers that they will have them that they will then have their Mexican cook up for them after the Mexican cleaning woman cleaned their house and the Mexican nanny picked the child up from school. Well, the pig, this cow is here trying on her garter belt for the filth that she will engage in later on.
What do you mean, filth?
Well, I don't mean that, but share sexual practices, which are none of my business. But, and again, these women that come out to the store, to let them know that they are attractive, even though in my mind, many of them are cows for what they do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Rudy Canoza, who owns Le Jetem Lingerie in Sherman Oaks. You're calling America, basically what you're saying is America is nowhere without the Mexican immigrant because they do so much of our work.
Yeah, people, they do so much of the work. They do almost all of the vital farm work is done by Mexican immigrants. All of the service work in the restaurants is done by Mexican immigrants. All of the where they work for day labor is done by Mexican immigrants. In the horse racing industries, and so much is done by Mexicans. It's just funny to hear American women think that it is the Americans who helped the Mexicans, when it is the Mexicans who built this country, who taught American women how to be a mother, who taught with them.
That is, to me, is hyperbole.
No, they taught American women how to be. They taught the American farmer how to recognize a vegetable. You have American farmers who are walking through the out there looking as what is this, celery or what? You know, and so the Mexican has to tell him.
This is hyperbole. You tell me American farmers wouldn't know celery?
You have a Mexican to say, how come you see? Jose, what is this? Senor, that is a radish. Thank you. These pigs don't know it. So Bush, again, knew what he had to do. Sit down with the president of Mexico. Keep his mouth shut. And let Vicente Fox say to him, you, little man, you will...
I don't think one leader of a country talks to another that way.
I'm speaking figuratively.
Okay.
But you will open the borders, you will let the Mexican in, or there will be an open border.
All right, that's the story from at least one immigrant businessman, Rudy Canoza, operating Jetem here on Ventura Boulevard. Bush has allowed the legitimization of Mexican immigrants because he had no choice. He was told he had to by Fox, and frankly, America wouldn't be anything. Americans wouldn't know how to pick vegetables or take care of their own kids were it not for Mexican immigrants. 1-800-449-8686 to weigh in tonight on The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Excuse me, I think coughing. It's really not a cold, it's an allergy. Anyway, Rudy Canoza is with me. You've been dealing with this cold, Rudy?
We had the around the store, and some of the people that work for me have had it. I've always had the problems with allergies, but I think the worst is over for us.
All right, we're talking about the immigrant issue, as it was discussed by President Fox and President Bush. You're an immigrant yourself, Mr. Canoza. You feel that the Mexican immigrant does such vital work here in America that Fox pretty much dictated to Bush what was going to happen.
Absolutely, yes. Because Bush is going to have to know which side, to use the term that you use a lot, which side of the bread the butter is on. The Mexicans are here to stay. You will never get the Mexican out. He's doing the work today that Americans, in a pig-like way, will not do. The cow that comes to my store, the way that...
The American woman referred to as a cow...
This is not negative. What I'm saying again, Philly, she is not educated politically. If an American woman tries to speak politics with me, Rudy must laugh. I look at her and she says, Rudy, I want to speak politics. I will look at her and I say, you are too beautiful to speak politics. And I will go, la, 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 la. And I say, put on the lingerie and just be the cow that you are, because you know you have a child at home that a Mexican is taking care of. You know you're going to feed a salad tonight to your husband that a Mexican picked. You know that perhaps your daughter will come home tonight after a Mexican has had his hands on your daughter. You don't know. Be a cow. But if you must be a cow that recognizes which pasture you are in. And this is the point that Rudy makes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Vicente Fox told Bush, open up the borders, let the Mexicans in, and Bush has no choice but to say yes. Here is George. George, go ahead. You're on the line with Rudy Canoza.
Rudy Canoza.
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I'm from Pennsylvania. Where do you get off calling the American woman a cow?
But it's not the negative.
Hold it.
It's not the negative. It is a positive.
Now, just a minute. I'm a little older than you. I'm a veteran out of World War II. So don't set that stuff in the American tone.
Don't you down the president. We are lovers. We are not.
You are lovers. That's exactly. Well, why don't you go back to Mexico and while all them cows and pigs down there?
I would love to do that, but the American people need their help.
Why don't
they need
you
Mexicans.
Do it?
No, we can't. If we leave, you won't know what to do. Americans do not know what to do without the Mexican. No.
Listen, Rudy, listen to me.
The American doesn't know what to do without the Mexican. Taking care of their child. What planet did you come off of?
What planet did you come off of?
I come from the planet Earth, the same one I presume you come from.
What Earth? You mean the dirt Earth? What planet are you from?
You are an old man.
I'm an old man.
Time is passing you by.
Listen.
The American woman is a pig, not because she is fat, but because she does not know how to raise her baby without the
You are out of your mind.
And the Mexican...
You are out of your mind.
Do you eat lettuce?
Hey, listen.
Do you eat lettuce?
I plant it, and I've done everything with it.
No.
Let me tell you something, my friend. Will you let somebody else say something?
Rudy, go ahead. Let George talk, Rudy, and then we'll hear your comment.
But the man's not made any sense.
What do you mean I haven't made any sense?
You've been blathering on like an old man.
What do you mean? You're the guy who keeps blathering.
I think you had a brain. Problem there, bubblehead?
I have a college degree. What do you have?
Did you get shot in the head by a German in World War II?
I wish you would come in here over to Allentown, Pennsylvania. I'd shoot you in the head.
I'd work you over in the ring, my dear friend. You are like a pig. You can't talk. You must threaten people. Hold on.
This is Phil. You guys have got to start making sense, or we got to move on here. You're both threatening each other.
This pig is calling up and saying,
hold on. Go ahead,
the
George.
American that made this country was a European white American, for your information, and you can bank on that, and you can talk to Michael Savage about that.
He'll tell you who built this country. Michael Savage would put his own people in a boxcar to Auschwitz. You know that as well as I do.
That's the way you people should come into this country in a boxcar.
I believe that Michael Savage would have put his own people in a boxcar to Auschwitz. But, George, if it wasn't for the Mexican, you would not know the difference between celery and a branch
of a fruit tree. I don't know them here. I don't see many of them here in Pennsylvania.
You would be brushing your teeth with a fruit tree branch were it not for the Mexican.
Brushing my teeth.
All right, hold on. Can we agree on this, gentlemen?
Look, the good Mexicans don't want people like you.
Can we agree on this, that the Mexican does, Mexican immigrant picks lettuce?
Well, George doesn't believe it because he reads fairy tales. He thinks
I got news for you.
He does not even read a newspaper. stripper.
I picked on it. I worked in cesspools. Did you ever work in a cesspool?
If it's a good job for you.
Oh, it's a good job for you.
Yeah, okay, look. All right, thanks a lot.
You are nothing but a pig, you see? A pig who talks about the Mexican.
Hey.
If you were in front of me right now, I would slap your face.
You'd slap my face? You could try, my friend.
My friend.
You could try.
For insulting the Mexican people the way you...
Now, wait a minute, Rui. You've insulted the American people. The women are cows. The women are pigs. They can't take care of their babies. You know,
the Mexican today is in America taking care of the American baby. And do you know why? Because the pig is in my store trying on my lingerie.
Hey.
George, do you have children?
Yes, I have five of them.
Who raised them?
Yeah? Who? My wife. My wife raised them.
That's
and
a lie.
And I come from a family of 12.
That's a lie.
Don't call the man a liar.
You don't know whether
he's lying. My grandfather come from Europe. He had
Europe.
11 children of his own. Now, don't tell me I'm a Mexican
immigrant runs everything. The Russian immigrant, he does not know a thing.
Look, my European
All right, George, thank you. I got to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Gina, because Gina's of Hispanic ancestry. Correct, Gina?
Yes, that's correct.
Go right ahead, ma'am.
First of all, I want to tell you that I'm very educated, articulate, and I'm calling, and I have a lot of respect.
Of course,
so
you're
a Latin
woman.
I would appreciate being shown the same respect by being allowed to speak my opinion and my piece and not being interrupted the way the gentleman prior to me was interrupted. And then
of course, I would love to let you,
okay?
Because you're a Mexican woman, I will let you.
Thank you. Please show me the same respect, okay, please?
Of course I will.
Okay, thank you very much. And again, people don't always agree. People don't always have to agree, okay?
Right, good point. Can I ask the caller, though? I want to ask Rudy, what is that foghorn?
That is it's like a door chime here in the store. When we've had some customers come in. I'm sorry.
All right. Go ahead, Gina.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes, I am of Mexican heritage. My ancestors on my father's side. My ancestors on my father's side are all of Hispanic heritage.
Is this going to take
on my
long,
mother's
Gina?
Side. Yes.
Would you continue, Gina? Go ahead. Please, Rudy.
I didn't know if she was going to start giving a resume. I want to speak politics, okay?
Okay.
You know,
so, I don't believe for one minute,
Gina,
that...
you're not a pig because you're Mexican. You are beautiful. And
I do not believe for one minute that the American people would not be where they are if it was not for the Mexican person. I was not raised by a babysitter. I was not grown up being taught that you need to be raised by Mexican people. I've learned everything I've learned through American people. My father fought in the war here. My brothers served in the war here. I don't believe for one minute that President Bush was ordered to do what he did.
But you know, Gina,
I'm not in love. I'm not in love with President Bush.
But you know, Gina, that Vincente Fox is a man. He's most macho. And he says to him, listen, you little PC, I would have loved to have been there. Do you know the difference between celery and a fir tree branch? Yes, you do. You know why? Because you're Mexican.
I did not call.
All right, hold on, Gina. I got to take a break here. 1-800, I'm awfully sorry to the caller, but I got a break. 1-800-449.
Let me tell you about...
Shut up, please, sir. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Rudy Canoza talking about Vicente Fox ordering President Bush to legitimize Mexican immigrants in America. True or false? The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up on our show, Justin McElroy, who is a high school senior, writes for his high school newspaper. He got his article banned from the student paper. It was called, the article's called Just Be a Mom, Not a Piece of Ass. It's a really controversial thing for a high school student to write. Right now we have Rudy Canoza on the line with us from Los Angeles. He is talking with us about the Mexican immigrant status in this country being the product of a, basically, Vicente Fox telling Bush this is how it's going to be, and that the American people would be nowhere as a country without Mexican immigrants. And thank you, Rudy, for hanging on.
And the other point I want to make, Phil, is you asked me about these at the door chime here at our store here, as you tell them. We have a joke that we play on some of our customers that they come. The women are a little bit heavy. We will play this foghorn to let our staff know, you know, this is a lady, she's going to need some extra help, that's all. So when you hear that, please forgive me.
So you're hitting a foghorn for overweight customers?
Yes, it's a joke as a way of saying, here comes a lady. Yes. Over to the second aisle, yes. It's a way to say to them, you know, welcome, and you're going to need, we will give you extra assistance.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Roxanne, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Rudy Canoza. Roxanne?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. I'm wondering, you said that America owes all of its wealth and everything to the Mexican immigrants.
Yes, of course.
Why haven't the Mexicans been able to make their own country a first world nation?
Well, we have, because America is part of Mexico in a way. If you look at California...
Okay, but the part that's not Mexico, the part that's not Mexico is a third world country.
The fifth largest economy in the world is California. This has been made by the Mexican people.
Well, what about Mexico?
So, Mexico is doing great, but it needs
to have more. Then why are the people coming here?
Because there's lots of money to be made.
Why aren't they making money in Mexico?
Well, because... This is the place to be.
Because Vicente Fox isn't offering economic opportunity.
Well, the point is, Roxanne, if you knew how to take care of your children, we wouldn't have to be here.
But
and as long as we're here, we can take care of the children that the American women don't know how to take care of. We can mow the lawns they don't know how to mow. We can pick the fruit that they don't know how to pick. The American people are wonderful people, but bright they ain't. And the thing...
Well, to say that we're stupid...
Well, I'm not saying that Americans are stupid. But they need help. If you have to go down to Mexico to find someone to take care of your child because the pig is here picking out lingerie for some disgusting sexual act that she will do with perhaps a man who is her husband, perhaps a man who is not, then I would say the cow needs to be enlightened. Until the Mexican came to America, the farmer thought the American mother didn't know her nipple was for to feed the baby. She thought it was for something for the man to play with.
Oh, that is absurd.
But if you think about it, why are there so many Mexicans taking care of American children? The American women don't know. And thank God that the people... Look at that. Look at that. See that?
Now, every time I hear that foghorn, there's a fat woman coming in the store?
Yes, sir. It's a joke we play around this time. Look at that. Because of the time, this time of year, so much food people are eating.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Francisco, go ahead.
Yes.
You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I'd like to speak with Rudy, please. Hey, Rudy.
Yes, sir.
I think, you know, I'm a Mexican, but I think you're an idiot. You know why? Because the way you speak.
Oh, really?
You know, you went to college, right?
Yes, I went to school. Did you?
Okay, why don't you have a good education and let the older man, when he was speaking to
listen
you...
Listen to me.
I don't have to listen to you.
But I am more educated than you, my friend. I know this country better than you.
Would you let me talk?
I have kicked ass.
Let me talk?
Yeah, let Francisco talk, and then you can.
Let me talk.
But this man...
And then you talk.
You're a lettuce picker.
Let him talk.
Let me talk first, and then you talk.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I think you're an idiot. You know why? You know why?
Are you letting me talk now?
You say the American ladies, the American women, they don't know how to raise their kids.
That's correct.
Woman, because my wife, she's American, and she knows how to raise my kids. They're 20 years old right now.
Because she's married to a Mexican who will have no other. You will not stand for a woman who will not know how to raise
a
child.
You know what? You're wrong, man. You're wrong. I didn't know so many things.
The Mexican man.
So many. Will you listen to me, man?
No, but the reason why your woman knows how to take care of your child is because the Mexican man, he demands that the woman knows how to take care of the child. The American man, he does not demand that. He says, go get the Mexican. She will feed the baby. She will wipe the turd from the baby's pant area.
Okay.
She will, you know.
Hey, now let me talk. You talk, now I talk. Okay.
Go ahead, Francisco.
You saying that the American women, they're cows, they don't... You know what? The American women, they are well-educated. Most of them, they're so nice. You should be grateful to live in L.A.
I want to interrupt. Francisco, I want to interrupt. Is that many fat women coming into your store?
Right now, we've got to run, yeah. It's 8:30. We're closing at 9 o'clock.
Because every time I hear that foghorn, it's a fat woman coming in the store.
Yes, sir. I'm awfully sorry.
Will you shut the hell up, man?
Hey, listen, you pick celery for a living. You don't tell a business owner what to do.
You're in the radio, be polite.
You're the Mexican man.
You're an idiot, man.
You
know the Mexican, they come here
to the pig's nipples.
You know what? You know what I hate about the Mexican that they come here, the women? You know what that I hate? They go to welfare. They come here, they get pregnant, they got so many kids, they go to welfare.
You're talking about your wife, not mine.
All right, thanks. He sounds like a self-hating Mexican, huh?
Oh, you find a lot of these self-hating Mexicans. They want to come here. The first thing they want to do is to get rid of the cowboy hat and the cowboy boot. They want to begin to dance to this this filth, Madonna, who's nothing more than a cow. Then they don't, because I remember when I grew up, and they run so grande, you know, the concertina, the mariachi,
Well, I'm a great, I love Mexico.
You're a cow that goes there to drink the tequila.
Don't call me a cow. I go down there because I appreciate that country. Here is Christy. Go ahead. Christy, go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Yes, hi.
I'm a first-time caller, Phil, but I had to take this opportunity. I've raised my own children. All of my friends have raised their own children.
Are you Mexican? I have not known
one person who has ever had a Mexican immigrant raising their children for them quite successfully.
Are you Mexican?
No.
And
I'm
you've
not.
Raised, and you have
I've
raised...
had no Mexicans raising my family.
Let me tell you something.
I just spent about 2 weeks down in Mexico at Christmas time, and I saw how your kids are raised in Mexico, and really
you come to
poor.
Mexico to put down
we
our
were
people,
building houses.
But you don't mind
charity.
Going down there. Too.
We were feeding your children. We were these kids that are raised so well by Mexican women and Mexican parents were starving. They had no clothes. They had
because
no food.
Because the American government has no cut shoes. Them off from food. It is the Americans' fault that my children starve.
Wait a second. How do you figure that?
Because
no,
America
we were bringing
had
food
got
in.
Good,
we had to smuggle, by the way, because your
Johnny
government
Green
is
Giant.
So corrupt.
I am a true Latin man. I wear black. Oh, you think that's funny, huh?
I think you need to wear the cowbell.
You know something? Why do the cows love me when they come in to try on the lingerie? Because they know that I'm a gentleman. And
well, they wouldn't know it if they knew you were calling.
I wouldn't know it at all. I would say that you're a pig. A chauvinistic pig.
If you met me and we were able to have some one-on-one, you would recognize that I have a knowledge of the world that far surpasses any man you have ever known. And I would look at you and I would say, la la, which is my way of saying you are lovely.
You wouldn't get the chance.
Really?
Yes,
if a man looks at you and he says, Christy, you don't think that that...
Well, sir, what we're talking about now is politics, not whether a woman's attractive or not.
All right.
I have a problem. Let me tell you something. If you have been totally oblivious to what our president has been doing, you would see that he is not going to be a coward to any tyrant, whether it's Fox, whether it's Saddam Hussein, whether it's any world tyrant. And Fox is a tyrant to his own country.
Well, I happen to agree with what Christie said.
How dare you?
Oh, it's dead on.
Speak of my country.
No, that's absolutely what's
wrong.
The Mexican people.
He's not going to be a coward to your world leader.
George Bush was told by Vicente Fox in no uncertain terms, you will open the border.
I don't care what he was told.
Your cows need to have our nanny. I am a true Latin man. I wear black boots, the tight pants.
Good for you.
And you're not impressed.
I'm
you're not
happy
impressed.
For you. You
what
want
if
to
I
go down
to
you want to spend some time in Cotty, Mexico, and why don't you donate your black boots to some kid who doesn't have any?
I don't give up my heritage like so many Mexicans who come to this country
well,
to get rid of their cowboy hat.
These are the children that you're telling us that are raised so well.
Christy, I would show you how to make your breasts dance.
Will you shut your mouth?
You're a pig.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
And because you can't argue what you're trying to argue, you can't argue intelligently with me about this because
no.
You have no defense.
I have. I've told you. And all you've been able to do is insult my country. You insult my country. I've told you all of my
I'm
reasons.
Not insulting your country.
Yes, you say that
I
we starve our children.
I'm sorry for the people that live in your country.
You say we starve our children, and yet we come to America to take care of your filthy brats. Okay?
No,
and we come to your country.
My children are not filthy. My children are just fine.
Your brats.
You need to get a clue.
And rape their own teachers and stick up men in liquor stores and these kinds of things, American children.
And meanwhile, you got a foghorn going off because every fat woman that comes to the store has got to be humiliated.
It's
fun. I'm having some fun.
I'm sorry. Jesus. I don't buy the foghorn thing personally, Phil. But
I wear a green cummerbund, an open pirate shirt.
Serious issues.
Well, you know, Christy, let me just say to you, now that is
that's real sexy, man.
Why don't you get a better education next time you want to come on a show, a talk show, so that you can really discuss the issues?
Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that Phi Beta Kappas are on radio talk shows? Phil, you get that one?
Oh, so in other words, we're all idiots.
No, you're not idiots. This is not the McLaughlin group, though. I've come on your program, and what, do I got to have a master's degree to talk on this stupid show?
And instead of talking to me in a sexual undertone and talk to me about the issues, you're saying that we can't raise our kids.
Will you turn that foghorn off?
I was just down in Mexico at Christmas time building houses for those kids who didn't have a home.
Well, Christy, let me be the first to say then, punch the ticket on your way out. The Padre will get you to heaven. Aren't you just a good little girl? Jesus. There's another fat pig into my store, and I'm supposed to kiss your ass.
All right, look, I gotta go.
I did it for kids, not for anybody like you.
Look at that, one fat slob after another coming into my store.
You sound like one of them.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Look at that, one after the other. Fat. And do you think anybody gives a sweet holy Jesus? Look at that.
All right, come on, man.
I can't do anything about it.
Donita, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to let him know that he is the poorest representative of his nationality I have ever heard in my life.
Are you Mexican?
No, I'm American. My husband is from Mexico. My children are both Mexican-American.
See?
My daughter is more intelligent than you. She's bilingual at 2 years old, and she's a better representative of her nationality.
Do you speak Spanish, Mr. Canoza?
Yes, I do.
Not you, Donita. Do you, Mr. Canoza?
No, I don't.
Why?
Oh, my God.
I forgot.
You forgot?
I have been speaking Spanish for 3 years because I chose to, not from my husband, but from other people, from the dictionaries and everything else.
Yes,
and you're telling me that I'm a better representative of your culture than you are?
No, you speak Spanish so you can order around the Mexican pool boy and the gardeners.
No. First of all, I have 15 acres with a boarding business. I'm the one outside cleaning stalls. I'm the one out mowing the lawn while my husband works so we can pay for our home.
Get the foghorn. See, these foghorns are driving me nuts.
I'm sorry.
Turn it off, please. God.
Okay, you want Spanish? No quiero Taco Bell. There, you happy? Good, sweet God. You know, Donita, your daughter is learning to speak Spanish so that when she is older and she becomes an American cow, she can tell all the Mexicans where to put the potted palm and how much fertilizer to put in.
You know why she's bilingual? And the same with my 8-year-old son.
Because you forced her to be.
No, I don't. My daughter loves speaking Spanish, and she's going to have a lot more opportunities in this world than even somebody that claims to be Mexican like you.
Look, you know the only Mexican your daughter will need to know is dos más tequila.
No, the only important Mexican that she needs to know is her familia, como su papá y su mamá y su abuelas también. Nada como tú.
Hey.
You know what?
Now hold on with that.
I think you are actually intelligent. I think you have a degree in ignorancy.
When your husband comes home from work, does he say, Donita, I'm home, just like Ricky Ricardo? That's what I say I hate about life.
And first of all, you dumbass, Ricky Ricardo was not from Mexico.
I know, but it's the same thing.
I know, but
they take you white women.
I forgot all you Hispanics look the same, right? And all you Negroes, right? That's ignorant.
Donita, if you knew what was right for your daughter, you would teach her how to be a nanny. You would teach her how to be a nanny than teach the pig to put the baby to the nipple.
No, you wouldn't. I would teach her to whoop people's butt like you.
The only Mexican Spanish your daughter will ever need to know is dos tequila, mas sin salte, and that, you know, like, and do you have the chimichanga today? Jesus! Why am I the only...
Okay, would you knock it up? Donita, thank you.
You are so welcome.
You know, bilingual is terrific for kids, learning another language. And I told my daughter, I said, I'd like her to...
Can I go now?
Would you just shut up for a minute? I told my daughter I'd love her to learn Spanish. Mm-hmm. Living in California the way we do, especially. I believe...
I'm sorry, it was another fat woman.
All right, thanks. Anyway, Donita, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm sorry, I just saw this quote here from Margaret Chode. She said that she's afraid of terrorists, but she's more afraid of the Patriot Act. Like, I want to ask you, do you really think she's going to have to deal with a Patriot Act anytime soon in her life? She's really afraid of the Patriot Act, huh? You know what she ought to be afraid of, Margaret? The fact that you probably aren't getting hired much these days. I'm willing to put money on it. You ought to be afraid of that. In fact, getting busted under the, you know, aegis of the Patriot Act, that might be a good thing for you. Then you can claim you're being persecuted, and you'll have a whole new career as the new Asian female lesbian Lenny Bruce, or what? Or maybe that's already taken. You're not a lesbian, though, right? I'm sorry. 1-800-449, she just are one for TV purposes occasionally. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Coming up, Justin McElroy is a high school senior in Glendale, California, who wrote a very controversial editorial for the student newspaper, and it got the newspaper pulled, and Justin's parents have been in touch with the school, and you're going to hear about this when we talk with him. He's a very interesting young guy. And this news... But first, I want to tell you about our website. The Phil Henry Show website, www.philhenryshow.com, has classic comedy audio going back years from our show. It's available for $6.95 a month. You can also get our webcast that we just had. And you, oh, well, I can't talk about this other news story? Well, I didn't want to. It was just about some Arab. Just another raghead story. Plus, our souvenir shop. You can pick up all kinds of garbage in that thing. We're getting a nice change for that Polar Fleece pullover. We're also getting a nice penny for that Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt and a nice little shekel for the, well, you know what I mean. www.philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Show brought to you by PetSmart, where you'll find smarter solutions for healthier, happier pets.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
I want to talk this hour with Justin McElroy. Justin is a high school senior who has written an article that got immediately pulled from the student newspaper. Justin, you want to tell us and fill us in on what happened?
I wrote an article for our student newspaper. It's called The Clarion.
And that's at Belmar Academy?
Yes, sir. And the article was about, basically it was about parents who are, a lot of people who are, I guess, power walking and jogging, that kind of thing in the morning.
Okay.
And you see a lot of, you know, older people who are out every day sort of jogging and power walking and walking along with wrist weights, and how it was kind of embarrassing to see them and how a lot of kids on the way to school laugh at them. And my mom was power walking with a friend of hers, and I carpooled to school, and I saw my mom, and all I could do was sort of try and hide my face because all the guys in the car were talking about how stupid they looked.
All right, so you're doing an article, but why is the article called Just Be a Mom, Not a Piece of Ass?
Well, these places...
By the way, how did that get past the teacher?
Well, our journalism teacher is Mr. Sanders, who was very supportive of the article, and he got... to the, I guess the district level, that's when they said that it needed to be out of the school bookstore. But the idea I had was, after seeing all these moms and all these middle-aged, like, mothers walking around, power walking, you know, and trying to, you know, get into shape and basically looking kind of embarrassing, you know, as they're jogging along. And there's a lot of places like Burger King, McDonald's, used to be places where kids could go and just have a burger after school and see their friends. And now all these mothers, they want like lettuce wrap burgers and everything, come in, they think they look hot. And it's really no place you want to be because they all think they look like, you know, and then I use that, you know, term like a piece of ass, you know.
Well, you don't begrudge adults and parents trying to stay healthy, do you?
No, I don't, but they aren't just trying to stay healthy. They're trying to say, look at me, you know, I can be young, you know, just as young as you, and they can. And also my friends' mothers think they're hot looking, which is embarrassing because they're not. And they have to tell your friends their mothers look like cows, you know. So
you wrote this article to say what about women and older people who jog out in public?
Well, yeah, I wrote the article because every morning on the way to school, you see all these people jogging and power walking, and they look stupid. You know, they think that they're being healthy, but they really, and they think they look good, and they look really embarrassing. So I wrote the article to send a message to kids and parents who read the Clarion that if they want to exercise, it's fine, but, you know, just quit making a show out of it like you think people want to see it, because I know a lot of my friends' moms think they look hot, but they look, you know, kind of stupid, really.
So stay off the road, don't jog?
Well, I mean, I guess, like, my idea was to ask that parents, if they're going to jog or do any of that, is do it when the kids are in school so you're not embarrassing your kids, because I guess a lot of mothers think that they look good and they don't, you know, they're kind of...
So when you're driving to school, you carpool with friends?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're driving to school, and you see your mom out power walking with another friend of hers. And
well, it's just not my mom. It's like anybody's mom.
But you guys, a lot of the guys that see the mothers?
Or just any older woman, you know. I mean, they look ridiculous, you know. They're all walking along real fast, you know, and they have on, you know, spandex, and they all think they, you know, look hot, you know. It's like... you know, moo, you know. So,
are you into fitness?
Well, I don't have to really be into fitness. And this is another thing about my article that I think the district didn't like, is that I said pretty much that I'm young and I'm physically fit because I'm young, and I think that really you can smoke cigarettes until you're like 40 and nothing's going to really happen, and they don't want us to smoke because they can't. You know, but the average high school student can smoke pretty much till you're 40 and nothing's going to happen. I mean, you know, you're not going to get a heart attack when you're like 18. So we're young and we don't get as affected. And so I like to play basketball, but I'm also into gaming. We have, you know, fests on the weekend, basically playing Halo and Xbox and that. But I also play basketball, but I'm not Mr. Fitness, you know, and you don't have to be. And I think that's a big lie.
You think it's a lie that students have to stay off of cigarettes?
I do, because I don't think they're going to affect you as bad as, like, adults. And adults don't want us to smoke because they can't smoke, so they don't think anybody should be able to smoke. I think that's a lie, too.
Okay, Justin, thank you. Hold on for just a second. I'm going to get back to you. But our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Justin McElroy, a high school senior at Belmar Academy, who wrote an article called Just Be a Mom, Not a Piece of Ass. Are you thinking that women, the mothers, are out there trying to look good because they want to attract younger men?
I don't know. I know a lot of my friends' moms think they look really hot, and they'll, when they go to pick, if you go to their house, you know, they're walking around in a, you know, a short skirt or something, and they think they look good, and
they don't?
Well, I mean, they're old, you know, I mean, whatever, I mean, I don't know, you know, but, I mean, I don't want to sit there and have to look at them and say, yeah, you look really hot or whatever. I mean, it's pretty disgusting.
I mean, have you ever had any of your friends' mothers come on to you?
Well, I mean, I don't want to say. I mean, that's.
Have you ever had them come on to you, really?
Well, no. I mean, some of them, I think, you know, wish they would, or, you know, or whatever. I don't know. But mostly it's just kind of gross, you know. And
when you say it's gross?
Well, I mean, they're moms. I mean, you know, I already know, like, a very good friend of mine. You don't want your good. And I'm not saying my best friend is, but you don't want your best friend's mom, you know. You know. Think she's hot and she looks like a beast, you know. I just think an older person should just be an older person. Don't try to be hip and in shape. Just act your age.
So that might have been and the reason why your article got pulled, Justin, you told me, and the school did, is because of the title. They didn't have really a lot of problem with the content?
No, I guess not, you know, and I guess I could have called it Act Your Age, but I wanted to, our journalism class, which is journalism 2 in my junior class, we have our teacher has told us to make sure that we have like a title, you know, you know, is interesting. And
yeah, I know. In journalism, they want to grab the reader up front.
Yeah, you know, and so I did, and I told Mr. Sanders, and he said it was fine.
All right, but you didn't get in trouble, did you?
No, I didn't get any trouble. They just told me that they couldn't have the article in the paper, you know, on the news, or I mean, in the student bookstore, which I guess, you know.
Are you disappointed you wrote the article?
No, I'm not at all. I mean, it's sending a pretty good message, which is, you know, a lot of you older people who are out jogging, you know, and you look stupid, and you know, once you act your age and everything, and because you're, like, embarrassing to look at. And also, I guess one of the most important things is Burger King and Carl's Jr. have all said that they're going to have lettuce-wrapped burgers. And
well, that's the latest thing. It's to bring the audience up to speed. Excuse me. All of these burger chains are having these healthy no-bun burgers.
Yeah, no-bun burgers and lettuce-wrapped burgers.
And you find that an affront. Why? Because it invites in too many of these jogging mothers, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they come in and suddenly they're, like, invading your space. You know, after school you're going to have a burger and here comes your mom. Or, you know, like your mom's friends are in there like, oh, you know, I'll have a lettuce-wrapped burger and they want to hang out. And it's just, it sucks. You know, I mean, it's just...
All right, okay, hold on for a minute, Justin.
I mean, it's just like they're trying to spy on you, you know, and they don't trust you, and they can't just accept that they're getting old and they're going to die, you know, and I'm young and I can smoke and they can't.
Well, I think that's controversial to say that you're a young man and you can smoke and us older guys can't, and there may even be some merit in what you're saying. I think it's a dangerous message, though, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to debate it, you know, it's just what I believe. You know,
I mean, but wouldn't you, if an adult wanted to debate with you?
Well, I mean, adults, there's no way, they don't understand.
Well, let me just try, as an adult. You say it's okay for you to smoke, but I can't because I'm old, you're young, it's not going to affect you.
Right.
Okay. Don't you think younger people can get lung cancer?
Well, I mean, that's what adults are saying, but they don't know. They don't know the statistics, and it's really low, and you can smoke until you're 40 and nothing's going to happen. So telling people that they shouldn't smoke when they're teenagers is a lie. And it's doubly insulting to tell them that they can't smoke and then, like, try to be a piece of ass and think you're going to get laid by a teenage boy. And then also come into Burger King where I'm trying to hang out with my friends. And then you come in, you know, with your girlfriends and you're all 50 and you're eating lettuce-wrapped burgers. And it's, like, frightening.
Do you like adults? I mean...
I love my mother and father.
You love your mother and father.
Yeah, I just don't want them to, you know, hang out where I do and just, you know, stay away from me. The main message, I guess, we want to try to say to adults is, would you just please stay away from us? And because, you know, every time you come in contact with us, it's embarrassing and, you know, you're trying to be a piece of ass and you're not.
All right, Justin, hold on. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Whether you heard a typical American youth... who is also he's in a journalism class in high school, and he's written an article for his student newspaper that says, quit trying to jog and look young, and just, like, stay away from Burger King and the places I hang out, and also, just because you can't smoke doesn't mean you should tell me that I can't smoke, because I'm young and I'm healthy. The article's called Just Be a Mom, Not a Piece of Ass, which is a statement on the attempt by many women, of all ages, to stay beautiful and young-looking. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And, of course, the last comment that Justin made was, I guess I asked him what's the main gist of the article. He says, just stay away from us if you're an adult. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
I'm talking with Justin McElroy. I wrote an article in a student newspaper, Just Be a Mom, Not a Piece of Ass. You're complaining that adults are trying to act too young. You also responded to a local newspaper, which is in Pasadena, saying that, and you named a friend of yours, Jason Perlman?
Yeah.
You said Jason Perlman's a douchebag.
Well, he is. I mean,
What does that mean when you say something like that?
Well, he basically backed up, like, the school district and said, yeah, you know, Justin's, you know, being mean and everything. I'm like, I thought he was a douchebag because...
All right, let's avoid using that term.
Well, all I'm saying is, you know, my mom went shopping over the Gap last week, and I told her to, you know, maybe not, you know, and it would be stupid for her to be in the mall about that time. And my mom says it bothers her, you know, when I smoke in the house, so I told her it's something you have to understand. I mean, I'm free to be who I am.
You smoke in the house? Do your parents approve of you smoking?
Well, not really, but how can they tell me that I can't? Because it's the Constitution of America.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Sarah, hello, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
So, I didn't hear how old Justin is. How old are you, Justin?
I'm 16.
You're 16. Okay. I'm only 5 years older than you, so I'm 21, and I've worked in the anti-tobacco program since I was about 14 years old.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's like your problem, you know? I mean...
Oh, no. Here's what I'm going to say.
Huh?
Statistics have proven that at teenage age, your lungs are still developing. They haven't fully developed. So cigarette smoke actually affects you more than
that's
it would affect yourself.
That is so much snap, you know? I mean, yeah, okay, so, I mean, you know I'm not going to get lung cancer or anything until like 40.
No, that's not true either.
Well,
you can acquire cancer after only 5 years of smoking. It depends on each person.
Yeah, but you got into this program, how old were you when you got into it?
About 14 years old.
Okay, that shows you were just trying to kiss up, you know?
No, actually,
yeah.
I wasn't.
Well, how come at 14 you're doing an anti-smoking program? You're just trying to kiss...
Because
I watched
several family members die of cancer.
Well, yeah, but that's not you.
Wait a minute.
So?
She just saw her family members die of cancer.
She's just trying to suck people's butts, that's all.
I'm not trying to suck people's butts.
Sure you are.
I just wanted to keep my sisters and my friends from smoking because I knew that the same thing would happen to them.
Well, I mean, look...
Most teenagers think that they can smoke for just a year and quit, and then they'll be fine. But you can get addicted after just two or three cigarettes.
Right, are you aware of that, Justin?
No, I know I'm going to smoke. I like to smoke. You know, I'm going to smoke probably till I'm, you know, in my late 30s, you know, and then I'm going to plan on quitting when I'm 40. Because I know guys over 40 are going to get heart attacks, you know, but it's such... I mean, just because some old lady, you know, who's out jogging, and she can't smoke, and she's telling me I can't have fun, and plus she's trying to look good, so, you know, her son's friends will think she's hot. I mean, you know.
But the damage isn't done when you're 40. The damage is done when you're a teenager, when you first start smoking.
Well, what about, were you
you're burning
to be,
up your air sacs
okay.
with the smoke.
Okay. Were you trying to, like, you know, become senior girl sports rep on the student council or something? I mean,
No, I wasn't. I did it because I watched family members die, and I didn't want my friends to do the same thing.
Well, who died?
My uncle, my grandfather, grandmother.
Yeah, and they were old.
Yes, because they started smoking when they were teenagers.
That's what I'm talking about. Old people are all trying to say, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, because they're old and they're
dead.
But
it wasn't old people. The person that worked in this booth was 22 years old. He was the one that got me into the program.
Okay.
And
Sarah,
22 is not old.
All right, Sarah, thank you very much, okay? 1-800, don't you understand what she's saying?
No, I mean, she quit because of her grandfather? Yeah, I bet the guy's, like, got yellow teeth and, you know, sucked on an old stogie, you know, for 20 years or something. And then they had an uncle who probably was, like, in the Marines or something, smoked, you know, Camel Straights or something. And that's, what's that got to do with me? You see, and teenagers are so brainwashed to think that, you know, my grandfather's a jerk. Plus, my grandfather probably molested my mother. That's what I've heard.
Well, all right, that is far beyond what we're talking about here, man, and that's probably something you ought to take up with a counselor.
No, I don't need to take up with a counselor. It's not my problem. My grandfather molested my mother. I'm fine, you know. I just don't need to be like, quit smoking, because that old douchebag told me to quit, you know.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Dee, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Sir, what I would like to tell the young man is, I just lost my daughter at the age of 22. She started smoking when she was 16. She died of lung cancer.
Are you sure?
Have to experience this, son.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
How do you know
it wasn't
asthma or something like that?
No, sir. No, sir. She was a healthy girl till she started smoking Marlboro cigarettes.
Was it like an automobile accident?
No, sir. She died of cancer, lung cancer.
She didn't fall off.
Don't tell me.
She didn't fall off a cliff or anything?
No. No,
she just said to you, Justin, lung cancer.
Well, lung cancer.
If you're sad, you may forget how
you
died.
No, I'm not sad. I'm mad. Because you have a life ahead of you, son. You have to live that life.
Well,
you can't be sarcastic with people who are trying to help you. You cannot be telling people what they can and cannot do. You cannot call people names. You cannot demoralize people.
Did the doctor say
and when the day that you earn your living and don't be a leech off of your family, then you have lived. Until that time, you don't know what it's like to watch a child die from lung cancer. And if you think it's fun, son.
How old was she?
How old was she?
Yeah.
She started smoking when she was 16. She died at 22.
Well, so she died at 42?
22.
Are you sure?
Hey, I had the kid. I know how old she was, and I know when she died.
How do you know she, like, didn't forget to pull the ripcord on the parachute?
Oh, come on,
asshole.
Man. You're talking
Let
about
me
a woman.
You something,
Jesus,
son.
Pal. What are you trying to be?
You live, and you watch a child die from lung cancer because she smoked Marlboro cigarettes for 6 years. And then you come back and you talk to these people.
Well, how come
you don't talk until you live the life? You don't talk until you've been out in the world.
Jason,
you're
17 this is good.
Years old. You have never worked. Probably you leech off your family, and you think you're a smartass. Well, you're not.
How's my mom helping me by coming into Burger King and Lycra tights with her stupid friends?
Okay, how stupid are you when you're out there with baggy ass pants that are down over your hips, dragging on the street? Do you think that's cool? I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather look like that than, like, wearing cowboy boots and stuff.
No. You respect your elders.
I'm not gay.
That is the law of God. Love thy father and mother. Honor thy father and mother. You don't make ridicule. You don't ridicule them, and you don't make fun of them until you become one.
Wait a minute. How did your daughter die?
Okay, that's enough.
Right.
Dee, my sincerest condolences to your family.
There is no family. She was the last member of my family.
I'm very sorry
myself.
To hear that, dear. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Thank you
the
for calling our show.
Has to live.
You're right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
What?
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line. Naked. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm with Justin McElroy, a high school junior at Belmar Academy. Your article, Just Be My Mom, Not a Piece of Ass, got banned from the student newspaper at the district level. Did you go talk to people at the school district?
I was going to, but like, most of them are douchebags over there. I mean, I'm not really comfortable talking to them, so.
I got to tell you something, man. I mean, like, when you assume the cats at the district level are douchebags, you weren't going to get very far with them.
Well, I mean, that's what they are, you know. I'm kind of honest. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but you're a student. I mean, they might have wanted to help you or explain something to you.
I don't need anybody to explain it. I mean, what I wrote was honest and it was true. And, you know, I don't need some douchebag in a suit. You know.
Look, you're a high school junior, man. You got to talk with a little more respect about people. When you get to college, you can go hog wild. You can write anything you want. You can be anything you want. In high school, you got to toe the line.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. It's not fair. I mean, plus high school, most of the teachers are douchebags. I mean, everything is.
You hear what I'm saying to you, man? You got to go back to school tomorrow. Let me go over here to Vicky. Vicky, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi there.
Hi, Vicky.
Gosh, I hope someone's recording this so he can play it back when he's 40 years old. It's unbelievable.
Well, the recording probably won't play back.
It just shows how naive and laughable the whole situation is. It's amazing how uninformed he is. I'm a 52-year-old health teacher.
Okay, that makes sense.
And,
I mean, you know, tape it and play it back for who so I can get in trouble?
You haven't reviewed any research at all, especially since you're required as a high school student in the state of California to take the health class.
No, I've read it.
And your textbook has all the information right in it, which you obviously haven't even read.
No, I have read it. I just don't believe it.
No, you haven't read it.
I don't believe it.
Had,
I think it's a lie.
No. It's not a lie. There's tons of research that backs up smoking. Number one, if you start before 16 and you don't quit by 19, you're a lifelong smoker.
Well, that's just propaganda.
Indicates that.
It's propaganda.
So you think you're going to quit when you're 40. I got news for you. The statistics don't back that up. You're going to be a lifetime smoker, and you're going to die of lung cancer.
Oh, yeah? Okay,
that's
well,
that's a fact.
You know what?
So I mean, don't even need to talk to you about it.
Oh, okay, thank you,
on.
Jesus. Okay, thanks, Jesus.
Hey, I don't know. That's a fact.
Yeah, you know. Hey, I bet you put Lycra tights on and speed walk to get a lettuce.
You know
burger.
What? I got other news for you. No, that's fine. I can address
this,
too.
You talk like a teacher.
I got
You talk at people. You don't talk to people.
No, I don't need to talk to you at the moment. I'm telling you information. And one thing is, I got news for you. I know tons of 50-year-old women, and I can't think of a one who's interested in a undersexed 16-year-old boy. Trust me.
Stop brainwashing our youth with phony health facts.
Undersexed? Mature women want men who can perform, and it's been my experience from learning things that 16-year-old boys can't cut it. Trust me.
Oh, your experience?
So,
oh, my God, that's disgusting.
If you think
women
are interested in you, I got news for you. You are the last thing on any 50-year-old woman's mind.
You know, you should read my article. You'd be enlightened.
I wouldn't even dream of it. It's so ridiculous.
Hey, show me the way to your show me the way to your daughter, and maybe we can talk. But I mean,
unbelievable. If you came near my daughter, I would move. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, I'm not attracted to you. Doesn't mean that I'm undersexed.
Yeah. Oh, trust me.
Really,
no 50-year-old woman would be interested in any teenage boys, and the reason working out.
I can tell you right now, I know of like two guys who's, all these other guys. Okay, I'll tell you.
I would say
Jason,
those guys are unusual.
Don't make any names on the radio here, Justin.
Yeah.
I don't need the lawsuit, okay? You're telling me you know of mothers that have come on to guys?
Well, they're all disgusting. I mean, they think they're hot,
You know what?
I'm not into cottage cheese on the thighs.
This is just his skewed point of view as an oversexed teenage boy. Trust me.
Well,
these women are not interested in him. They're going into menopause. They know they're going to gain weight. They start exercising at that time in their life because they have been told by their doctors to do that in order to avoid the weight gain, which is dangerous to your health. And that is exactly why they're doing it. They're not doing it to look hot for teenage boys, trust me.
Well, a lot of teachers, like you're a teacher, you're a health teacher. Are you a high school health teacher?
Yes, I am. In fact, I work with the felons in jail. I know a lot about kids with your type of attitude.
Do you come into class all trying to show everybody everything you have and stuff? I mean...
You know what? I'm not interested in flirting with teenage boys, and most women I know are not.
Well,
you guys don't have any experience.
I know.
You have no money. You have no activities that we're interested in doing anything with whatsoever.
I know.
And for you to think that we would be attracted to you is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I know one teacher at our school, and she's a female. She does smoke checks in the boys' shower room. Yeah, okay.
Oh, well,
yeah.
I find that incredibly hard to believe in today's world when school districts are incredibly worried about teachers' reputation.
Yeah.
That behavior will not go on.
Yeah, that's going to get a lawsuit.
No, I swear to God, two guys on the water polo team said she came in to check them out.
No.
Okay, dude, you can't be sitting around doing a lot of gossip at school.
I bet this teacher bends over and drops the chalk and everything to show people your buns.
Okay.
I don't even know how to talk to this guy. He's amazing. I'm sure that he's one of the kids who's getting poor grades, very unhappy at school, loves to rag everybody about, and it's not about him, it's about everyone else. And we see it all the time with kids that are having problems in high school, and I'll bet you $10 this guy is one of them.
Well, I'm going to be a writer someday, and you can't stop me.
No, I don't want to stop you. Be my guest, but try to be informed.
Can I ask
you
a question?
Try to write factually.
Are you one of those teachers that rides your G-string up high so you can see it like up over your big butt and stuff?
Oh, no.
Come on, kid.
Kid,
are you just saying this because this is stuff you can't say to a teacher's face?
Yeah, of course that's why he's doing it.
Mr. Sanders, I love my teacher, Mr. Sanders. He's my journalism teacher. Everybody at the district's a douchebag. But if they gave me an A+, if I get an A+, it's going to be for my sex ed teacher because I'm really good at that.
Okay, look at dude. I got to,
I'm just asking most of the teachers out there, if it'd be okay with you, please don't, act like gross, and it'd be really nice.
Okay, so Vicki, you teach health at a high school, and,
Yes.
And she, doesn't know anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you hot?
Am I hot? No, I wouldn't consider myself hot.
Okay, well, what are we talking about?
I'm a 52-year-old woman that's trying to be healthy. I'm no different than many other 52-year-old women. And if you think I'm exercising to be attracted or to be attractive to a boy like you, that's ridiculous.
Well,
the person I want to be attractive to is a person in my own age group, certainly not you. I have no interest in, my son is 18 years old. I have no interest in any of his friends or any boy that's that age. It's not appropriate for me.
Can I ask you
and
a question?
I think most women are the same way.
Can I ask you
and
a question?
For you to think that is ridiculous, you're just trying to rag
it's
on
kind
everything.
Of a, it's kind of an ego thing you're on, man.
No, I just want to ask, are your boobs real or fake?
He's so impressed with himself, Phil, that he's just got the wrong attitude.
I just want to know, are your boobs real or fake?
That's none of your business.
Okay, well, keep speed walking and call me when you get hot.
Oh, Jesus. All right, pal.
You know what, Phil? I'm talking to this guy because he is, I hope someone's taping this, because if I was his teacher or his parents, I'd be mortified.
Yeah, you bless me. I know, you'd dark me out. I know you would. Yeah,
absolutely.
You'd dark me out just because I think your butt looks
large. I'd love to see what your grades are like and what your papers are like, and I'll bet you $10 that you're a problem student with problem grades. No question in my mind.
Well, you'd dark me out at the district, and they're all douchebags.
Okay, probably enough with the douchebag thing. Hey, thanks a lot, Vicky.
Douchebag.
Jesus! This kid, I guess he's saying everything to a teacher that he always wanted to say. Are you hot? She's the health teacher. Well, there he is, Justin McElroy, who wrote, "Be a mom, not a piece of ass." 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with more of the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Our website, www.philhenryshow.com. If you go to our website, we have archived there all kinds of tantalizing little bits, phone calls, comedy bits. Here's one from yesterday's show. It's Margaret Gray talking about baby makeovers. Some babies are so freaking ugly, they need like what she calls pediatric hair pieces.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Thank you. I wanted to talk to Margaret, and I wanted to tell her.
Yes, hi. This is Margaret Gray. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. But I want to tell you, I have three children, and the third child was an ugly child. I admit that he was an ugly child.
You admit it. Finally, you admit
it. But wait a minute. You listen to me. God made that child, and as it turned out, God was right. By the time he was grown, he is a handsome young man with no help from either you or anybody else about any artificial means.
Well,
God gives us these children.
What about a hairpiece?
Pardon?
What about a hairpiece, a pediatric hairpiece?
Heavens, no. That's the most ridiculous thought I've ever heard of in my life.
Well, if it's ridiculous.
Wait a minute. If you see a child who is not pretty in your eyes, remember, he's loved by his parents, he's loved by his God, and if his parents see that he has big ears and they need to be pinned back, they'll go to a surgeon. But you don't need to say that's an ugly baby. You can just say, my goodness, he's got pretty long hands, he may be a pianist. Or you may say, look how the size of his feet, he may be a big football star. But you don't need to tell a person that they're ugly.
You didn't just say the word pianist, did you? What did you say?
Pianist, piano player.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about. Look, the song, Barbara, the song is America the Beautiful, not America the Land.
I heard you. Wait a minute. I want to talk to
people.
You. I don't want to hear you. I want to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
You said you were a newspaper lady.
Yes,
that's fine.
Yes.
That's odd, okay? You said you had a son in TV, so he's bound to be good looking, but that's not necessarily true. Because I see a lot of ugly people on TV. You need to keep your opinion to yourself when you see a child.
The Brady Bunch
were ugly. Instead of hurting someone.
Name one child on television that's ugly.
One child?
Yes.
Well, I'm from an area. I see several on my local TV, okay?
Well, maybe if you stop producing them. I'm joking. That's a little bit of a joke.
You know, that's insulting.
She's not insulting me because she doesn't really have the couth to do that, okay?
I was kidding around. I thought because of Barbara's accent I could make an inbreeding joke and she'd understand it. I know that you
Well, yeah, because I'm Southern and ignorant, and I'll tell you what else
no,
I am. I'm
ignorant.
Fat and I'm white.
Why
and
did
it's
you
okay to make jokes. Wait a minute. It's okay to make jokes about Southern people. It's okay because they understand this inbreeding
stuff.
Can I
ask you a question,
Well, I've
Barbara?
Got news for you. We've got more morals in our little finger than you do in your left hand.
Okay? All right. Tell me this. If you have morals,
when you're around a baby.
Wait a minute. If you have morals, then tell me why. Why did you put yourself through years of embarrassment strolling that ugly brat around when
I
you could have gotten a nip in the dark
and
a...
And let me tell you, had I met you on the street and you told me he was ugly, I'd have beat the snot out of you.
Oh.
I'd have whipped you right there on the spot.
Oh, you want to throw some hands, huh?
Well...
You want to get into it. You want to mix it up.
I could.
You know...
I would protect my child. You would not call him ugly.
I'll tell you what,
I have that right, but you don't.
I'm a lady, but I don't mind mixing it up. And when I told What's-Her-Face that her kid was ugly, Frank and I had to back out of that house.
Well, let me tell you what.
With a broken beer bottle in our hands.
A true lady wouldn't be fooling with a beer bottle to begin with.
No kidding.
And they also wouldn't tell someone that their child was ugly. A true lady wouldn't. She'd have better manners.
Can I ask you a question? Were you ever tempted to put your son in a sack and throw him in the Mississippi River?
No.
No? All right. Even though you did it to all those kittens.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There it is. It's Margaret. Baby makeover. Now, that was Janice's idea. That was brilliant. And how fast do you think it'll be before you have a baby makeover? You see, this program has always been just a little bit ahead. You know, today you see stories about people suing because they're too fat. 5 years ago, we were doing bits like that on the air. Today, you hear about, you know, us talking about baby makeovers. 2, 3, 4 years from now, some jackass is going to come out on a TV show with baby makeovers. It'll probably be on a talk show, probably be on something really, you know, one of those kind of housewife-friendly shows like, I don't know, Montel. I don't know if it is or not, is it? Hey, if Margaret Cho gets one of those daytime shows, will it just be called Chode? Margaret Cho, I don't want to harp on her, but, you know, Drudge has got this whole thing about what she said last night at this MoveOn.org thing. Margaret Cho, for those of you who don't know, is a comedian, and she is Asian American. Now, why do I point that out? Because her entire act, all she ever does is point it out. All she ever does in her entire freaking act is talk about, how do I know? Well, my good friend Janice tells me, because Janice has seen her act, I haven't. She talks about her slant-eyed parents, and she does slant-eye jokes. Honest to God. Now, here's the quote from Margaret Cho. She said, I'm not afraid of terrorists. I'm afraid of the Patriot Act. I got a bet for you. I got a bet for anybody. I mean, you take this bet, you're a better man than Margaret Choad. I guarantee that I will get fired sooner for making slant-eye jokes about Margaret Cho then she'll get arrested for doing anything wrong under the Patriot Act. Now, she says she's afraid of the Patriot Act. Why? What are you doing? It's going to get you in any kind of hot water. On the other hand, me, sitting here as Phil Hendry doing this talk show, I'm running into all kinds of crap every single freaking day. If I say zipperhead, slant eye, if I say wop, if I do anything in a satirical sense, because there's so many humorless bastards out there that want to wait for the biggest slip-up. The biggest fascists in the world today, unfortunately, are operating out there in the world calling themselves liberals. I used to be a proud liberal. Now I'm a liberal I gotta hide. I gotta freaking hide, man. Because the people who call themselves liberals now, I'm gonna get canned. Sooner, quicker, faster, however you want to say it. I'll lose my job faster than Margaret Cho will go to jail. If I say anything about her being a zipperhead. Because that's not cool in our racially sensitive times. But she thinks she's doing something that's going to get her the interest of the Bush administration under the Patriot Act. Baby, you ain't doing nothing. You're doing a quasi-funny stand-up act. What the hell are you doing? What are any of these freaks doing in Hollywood, man, who are so afraid of the Patriot Act? What are you doing? Nothing. Putting out boring movies? Making boring statements to the press, leading your stupid, silly lives, sticking your faces in front of the cameras every now and again, you know, with a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend, going into rehab for this, that, or something else. I mean, you know, just, it's same old, man. You guys aren't doing nothing. I said it, you know, I'll never forget, man. During that freaking Gulf War, something comes out about Janine Garofalo is afraid she's not going to get her stupid pilot on the air because she's against the bloody war. Oh, my God. I said, let me tell you something. It's more likely I won't get my pilot on the air because I'm in favor of the freaking war. As it turns out, neither Garofalo or I got our pilots on the air because they both blew. How about that for a reason? Actually, mine was funny. I heard hers blew. But then I can't be sure. Yeah, you're really afraid of that Patriot Act, huh, Chode? Making all them zipper head jokes. You ain't going to get busted by the Patriot Act. You're going to get popped by Barbara Streisand. You're going to get popped by the Barbara Streisand SS. That's what's going to happen to you if you keep it on with that slope head joke stuff. Jesus H. All these cats that don't dig the ethnic humor, right? All they ever do is freaking ethnic humor in their act. Get a freaking act. Talking about your slant-eyed relatives this, your slant-eyed relatives that, and then they get pissed off when they're pigeonholed, right? When nobody knows how to hire them or do anything with them, because the only other material they got is about how they're, you know, they're Jewish, or they're Mexicans, or they're Chinese, or they're black. Let me tell you about my family, okay? My mama used to, yeah, okay, great. And my family, you know, let me tell you something. My puppy, he used to say, oh, get out of here. You want to be a freaking American, act like one. How about that? Oh, Henry, what a racist. You mean you can't be an American and act Mexican? No, dude. It's just, being an American, don't refer to your ethnicity so much. How about something that we all share in? How about the world that we all share in together, huh? Like, what is that? Where does the Mexican, the Chinese, and the American, the white American come together? Where is it? Where is the place that we all meet? You got it. 60 Minutes. I don't know. At Beyonce Knowles' ass. How about that? That's the meeting point for our culture these days. It's a round and gorgeous one. There's no doubt about it. Coming from an aficionado. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.